Hello and welcome to TDF Talks. I'm Lucy Fagans, and this is a fortnightly podcast from The Design Files, Australia's most popular design blog. In this podcast, we chat to leading Australian creatives of all kinds, from architects to artists, foodies to furniture designers, and everything in between. This is episode 42. Thank you so much for joining us. For today's episode, I got to sit down and chat to designer, educator, serial renovator, reality TV star, and mum of two, Jenna Denston. Jenna has been renovating homes with her now husband, Josh, since they were both just 18 years old. After appearing on The Block in 2011, though, it was time to get serious about design. So Jenna left behind a career in hairdressing to pursue interior design. After returning to study to get qualified, Jenna took a leap of faith and launched her design studio, Bicker, alongside Josh in 2011. But Jenna doesn't like to do just one thing at a time. She's a serial multitasker, and in 2016, she launched Design School, a boutique tertiary college offering accredited courses in interior decoration with an emphasis on practical skills and hands-on learning. Design School is very much a family business run by Jenna with her brother Beau and a lot of guidance from their mum, who runs her own training organisation in Jenna's hometown of Albury, Wodonga. In the past few years, on top of running their two businesses and having two adorable kids, Josh and Jenna have also designed and built their dream home in North Melbourne. That's where we recorded this podcast, and I'm here to tell you it is even more spectacular in real life. Don't worry, we will be sharing it with you not just now, but very soon. But for now, please enjoy this lovely and very friendly chat with Jenna Denston, where we cover life after reality TV, why she still gets a thrill out of renovating, and how she juggles business ownership and parenthood and everything in between. Today, I'm in North Melbourne, catching up with interior designer, serial renovator, educator and founder of Design School, Jenna Denston. Jenna, thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, so it's hard to like succinctly describe everything you do because you do many things, and I do want to get into your design work and Design School, but before we sort of go into all that stuff, I always like to sort of understand a bit more about your background and how you came to be doing what you're doing now. So can you just tell us like where you grew up and I guess what path led you to sort of where you're at now?
Yeah, okay. Well, I grew up in Albury, Wodonga, so from the country, and that's where I met my husband, Josh. And yeah, we bought our first house when we were 18.
Oh my gosh.
And we started renovating. Yeah, we had been on an around the world trip and we came back and we had no money, so we thought, let's buy a house. And at the time it was when you could get a full mortgage with absolutely no deposit. So that was the first thing that we did that kind of led us into this industry, was we just jumped right in, and our parents thought we were crazy and tried to talk us out of it, but we knew we wanted to buy a house, we knew we wanted to renovate it, and that's what we did. So we renovated that home, and it was in East Albury for about 3 years, and we lived literally off baked beans and toasties, and we renovated every single night. And our mission at the time was to get to Melbourne, and we knew that the only way we could do that is if we had a little bit of money behind us.
Yeah.
And so I guess that was where our passion started. We sold our Albury house, we moved to Melbourne, and then we bought another house, and it just continued on from there.
Wow. So you must have been renovating that house when you were like 18, 19, 20 or something.
Yeah. Our friends were going out and we were renovating. That was just it. And that was a sacrifice that we kind of made.
Wow.
And that was okay. We really loved it. I don't know what came over us. I feel like my family are big on, you know, property and buying and renovating. And so it's always been, you know, in my blood, I guess. And yeah. So I dragged Josh along with me, and or down with me, should I say. Yeah. So that was kind of that house and just that experience and being able to see a transformation, even though it was a terrible, terrible transformation.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, got a passion inside of us.
Yeah. And I guess it was a bit like your apprenticeship in the industry in a way, getting started so young.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And at the time, so Josh was a plumber and I was a hairdresser. So I was doing my hairdressing apprenticeship and I'd qualified, and that was obviously when we went and bought our house. So yeah, it was a whole different time, but I can honestly say one of the hardest times of my life, because going through an apprenticeship, you know, living off next to nothing, renovating all the time, but it really set us up for, I guess, our work ethic and our future, really.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't have this conversation without talking about the block briefly. It's not going to be all about the block, but obviously, as many people know, you and Josh did feature on the block in two series, I think. Is that right?
Yeah,
the All-Stars or something.
Two series. So 2011 and 2013, and then another little stint on another little Renault Rumble, it was called, that was afterwards. So too many. We said after one we'd never do it again, and then every time they ask, we go, yeah, sounds great. It's like we forget.
Yeah.
We forget.
It sounds like childbirth or something.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so just tell us about that. Like, how did that come about? How did you get to be on the block? Why did that appeal to you? And tell us a bit about that experience.
So after we moved to Melbourne, we bought another really rundown home in Maidstone, and we were about to embark on renovating that. And the block had, you know, said that they were advertising for new contestants. And at the time, the block wasn't really what it is today. It was kind of on one night a week and barely anyone knew what it was. It was Sydney. They were renovating the Sydney apartments.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were bringing it to Melbourne for the first time. And so I forced Josh to apply. He really, really didn't want to. But I got my brother over and we filmed a video and we literally put in the application like with 1 minute to go. It was just a silly thing. But I guess in the application video we argued, and so that was why we got on, because we had a fight. My brother left it in and he put it in, and I was so frustrated that my brother had left in this part where we were arguing, because I wanted to seem like we were the perfect couple. But they ultimately chose us because they, you know, wanted a more, I guess, argumentative couple. And at the time we were young and we were, you know, both had our strong ideas. So we were accepted onto the block, and that was, 2011. And it was a crazy, crazy experience. And for me, it was really hard because it was when social media was really Facebook heavy. So Instagram wasn't a thing whatsoever, very much Facebook, and very much say what you want, do what you want, regulations. So trolls were at their absolute peak. So, you know, for me during that time, that was very, very hard. So I can't believe I went back again.
Yeah.
But, you know, just that whole experience is kind of tainted a little bit because of that. But
yeah,
I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the block audience have strong opinions, because on the odd occasion that the block Facebook page has linked to or shared some of our stories, people really have an opinion about
things. They're really passionate.
Yeah. Oh, well. Interesting. Okay. So then you also launched your own design studio, I think, in 2011.
Yeah.
So how did that timing happen with the block? And tell us about launching your own studio.
So after the block, I was still a hairdresser and I took time off to go and do the block, and the series ran for about 3 months odd, and I just couldn't go back to hairdressing. I think after you experience something like that and you can kind of see that maybe this could be an opportunity to do this as a full-time job, we took it and ran with it, and we started our business, and we started it right off the back of the block. So we went, right, we're interior designers, let's do this. And that was that was one of those decisions that you make and you really quickly realize you know nothing. You really quickly realize that actually we need to, you know what we're doing before we can actually do this as a career. So I then went back and studied interior design, and my hubby went back to his work. And I guess after I finished studying, we got back into Bicker, and that's when we started taking on a few more projects. And I have to say, we called our business Bicker because we bickered on the block and everyone knew us as that. So that's where the name comes from. So, you know, there's positives that have come out of that first block experience.
Yeah.
And I think definitely the fact that, you know, going back and studying meant that, you know, I had credibility, I guess, and I felt like I kind of knew what I was doing, whereas just jumping straight into it, straight out off the back of the block, was just a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the thing with running a design studio in that way is it's not just about the design work. There's so much you need to learn just to run a business as well that you guys would have been navigating on top of, obviously, the service you're providing. So It would have been a bit of a baptism of fire, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like you literally, you go on this show, you renovate a couple of rooms and we were like, great, we can do this. We can take on the world. And it was definitely not like that. You kind of come off and realize that, okay, yeah, I don't know everything and I need to learn a lot, like you said, about the background of how to actually run a business, but also, you know, how to design a room.
Yeah.
That would help, wouldn't it?
Wow. It just sounds like those such a sort of dynamic time that you were just so energized by that experience and you clearly found your calling, I guess.
Yeah. I'm really glad that I did something about it because I think it would have been really easy to let that experience kind of just, you know, happen, enjoy it, then it float away.
Yeah.
And we've been quite lucky in the sense that it's been a really long time since we've been on the block and there's a lot of opportunities that still continue to come from it. So I think we've been super lucky. So as hard as it was, now I can look back and go, yeah, it was well worth it.
Definitely. Yeah. And so then after the design studio, then you launched Design School, which is of course your design school, and you offer accredited certificate courses in interior decoration. How did that come about? Like, did you always know you wanted to get into the education side of design?
Oh, no, I had no idea. So I decided that after I'd run Bicker for a couple of years, I went and worked at Cotton On Group and did a bit of store design and traveled around the world and learned quite a lot on the job. And it was then that I realized that I actually learned more on the job than I did through my training of my interior design certificate. So that's when I kind of figured that there was a kind of gap in the market in the sense that hands-on training wasn't really a thing. So for example, you learn interior design and decoration, but if you hired me to do a photo shoot, I wouldn't have had that practical experience. I would have literally just learnt about it in theory and not have been put it into play. So mum and dad run a registered training organization in Albury Wodonga. And so it kind of came from a conversation that I was complaining about the fact that, you know, I'd learned so much on my job and I was really excited about it, but I was really upset that I didn't know more beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's where we started saying, well, maybe we need to start something. And that's where our course came about. And we really wanted this sort of taster course, so interior decoration. So if people decide that, you know, maybe they're doing their own homes or they want to go off and be a stylist or they want to go off and do design or decoration or even architecture, that they kind of figure out where they want to go before they commit to, you know, studying architecture for 4 odd years.
Yeah.
You know, and they can work it out because we have so many students even now that come through that think they want to be stylists and then realize very quickly that that's not their pathway.
Yeah.
But they love color. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I was really lucky, obviously, that mum and dad had an RTO because having a registered training organization means that we can run accredited courses.
Yeah.
And then I had the experience, you know, varied experiences, and we kind of come together, and that's where Design School started. So, yeah.
So did you, like, I'm not sure what sort of training your parents were doing, but like, did you sort of lean on your parents to help you build a sort of education model?
Yeah, absolutely. So they were doing quite a few courses, nothing creative. So it was kind of a bit of butting of heads, I guess, in the sense that we're trying to break the mold a little bit for standard education, which is hard because we have to be compliant and we have to make sure that obviously the government standards and rules, and we want to adhere to that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some of their standards aren't necessarily what the industry wants. So we try to kind of navigate that, making sure that they get a certificate at the end of the day and everyone's educated, but at the same time they learn things like social media and branding and, you know, networking, which, you know, apparently not supposed to be, you know, in the world of design, but that's everything. That's how you get work.
Yeah.
You know, so we try to navigate putting those two together, and that can be quite hard for, I guess, a business that has always run by the fact that, okay, the government say we need to teach this, so this is how we teach it.
Yeah.
We try to push the boundaries and go, all right, we need to include that, but we also need to make sure that it's industry relevant.
Yeah. And so is Design School, does it still operate as like an offshoot of your parents' training organization?
Yes, it does. So we are based in Melbourne and we basically run through the training organization, but they've got all of the remainder of the courses back in Albury Wodonga.
Yeah.
So we run our own race here.
Yeah. How cool. Do you have to like go home to see your parents, like report on how you're going in Melbourne, or you've got sort of a long, you know, I don't know, free reign?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of free reign. So I work with my brother and he's amazing. So Beau is the man behind the scenes that basically pulls all of Design School together. So, you know, I get to take all the credit, but he's the one who does all the hard work.
I didn't know about his involvement. That's cool. So it's really cool, though, that, you know, it is essentially a family business in that way, that you're really working with people that you're close to and you all really want the best outcome.
Yeah, it's great. It's been really interesting because my brother studied animation and we dragged him into this, and he's just been amazing. And we've all learned so much, but working with family and obviously being able to deliver something that we're really passionate about and also do something that I really love, it's just a huge turnaround from my hairdressing days where I would dread going to work for that 10-hour day on a Thursday. And now, you know, the idea of going to class, it's like going and having conversations with, you know, 25 of my friends. So it's just a, yeah, very super, super lucky. But it's all these little events that happen in your life and you make these decisions along the way and you don't know whether it's the right one or not, but they all, you know, have kind of led me to where I am.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. And so you've just released a new online masterclass. So tell us about that. Like, what is this course? And I guess, why did you decide that you needed to create something that lived online?
Oh, look, everything's online. We've been getting harassed for years about doing online. We obviously believe in hands-on and practical experience, and that's where our accredited course will probably lie and stay. And so the online masterclass is non-accredited, but it's for all of those people that ask me the million questions every day on social media. You know, how do I make a bed, or what color should I choose, or, you know, how do I determine my design style? How do I create a concept? So all of these, I guess, the foundations of design, I've kind of put together in an online course for people that are thinking of doing their own homes, renovating, or maybe people that are thinking they want to do it as a career, but they don't quite know yet. Yeah. So it's just kind of a bit of a taster. And the idea is that it is a foundation course and we'll continue to release modules and people can build upon skills depending on, you know, what they're interested in and what they need.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been a long time in coming. Have you worked on it for a while?
Yeah, look, I started to actually do the course. It's been a long time coming, but I started filming the course mid last year and I was just early days pregnant then when I started Silly, and I thought I'd be able to do it before anyone would notice I was pregnant. And if you are part of my online class, you'll see that at the start I don't look pregnant and by the end I'm very obviously pregnant. And I tried to hide it. I tried to sit down as much as I could and put books in front of me. And, you know, it was just a really tough time because obviously, you know, I was growing a human being and also growing another baby, which is the design school class. But yeah, it's been a long time coming. It took a long time to make, but I wouldn't have wanted to release it if I wasn't 100% happy. So I'm glad I waited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. It sounds incredible. Now, getting back to your own sort of project. So you guys, you and Josh together, I believe, have renovated, I think 10, maybe more now, maybe like 11 properties over the past few years. And I feel like to many people, that would be literally their nightmare. So I'm just sort of wondering, like, what is it, do you think, that, you know, appeals to you about that process? And what do you enjoy about renovating?
Oh, look, the before and after, that's basically it. Nothing else. I don't enjoy anything else. I do enjoy walking through a house when it hasn't been touched and it's in its bare bones, and just that idea of like, what could I do and how could I do something new
and potential.
The potential and inventive and exciting. And I think that's where we started doing our own projects and kind of moved away from doing other people's projects, was because it gives us the opportunity to do, you know, push the boundaries and do something a little bit more unique. And yeah, I just love a good before and after. I love visualizing it, but it's really tricky and I don't know how we could do it now. I don't know how with kids you could renovate, but there's something addictive about it. Once you've done it once, I think a lot of people go back.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, when you do get started really early. I feel like when you're young, you're energetic, you know, like sort of optimistic. Yeah.
I can retire now. Yeah. So I've done it now when I was young and energetic. Exactly. And now I'm kind of, the idea doesn't appeal to me as much, but we still definitely look at real estate and we definitely go, oh, maybe we should. Maybe we should go have a look. Not just yet.
That's so funny. Well, I was going to ask you about your forever home. So we're sitting in your home right now and it's been well documented on your Instagram. The house looks absolutely stunning and we are coming back to shoot
yes,
it at
you
some
are.
Point
you are.
When you're ready. But yeah, like tell us about this project. Like, is this the forever home? Because I feel like you'll be itching for another project in a few years.
That's, yeah, look, it is technically the forever home, but I don't know if it is. We were just in Mount Macedon on the weekend and I think there's another forever home there.
Does Josh know?
No, Josh doesn't know. Don't tell him. Don't listen to this, Josh. But yeah, look, this house, it took a lot out of us. So this was the hardest project we've ever done. 5 years in planning, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of stress. And I think that kind of played a little bit of a toll on it and the end result, because I do love it and it's a beautiful house, but I don't know if I can get past everything we went through to get here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still raw. We only moved in, you know, a couple of months ago, so it's still raw. So I'm hoping that with time I can forget about that. But at the moment it's definitely a little bit tainted.
Yeah. I do understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As someone that has also, we built our own house in Fitzroy, lots of, you know, compliance with neighbourhood regulations and definitely, yeah, very stressful, expensive.
Yeah, and you kind of just look at it and go, oh, I remember that and I remember fighting for that. I remember how expensive that was. I remember the delay for that. So at the moment I'm not appreciating the beauty that it is. I'm sort of looking at it and going, oh, yeah, that was hard work.
Yeah, I do understand that. But it is insanely beautiful, everyone, in case you needed to be reminded. We're definitely going to have some photos to share.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah.
So I have to also ask about your creative partnership with your husband, because, you know, you guys really seem to work so well together, and across your various projects, it feels like both of you just are such close collaborators. So how do you make that work?
Oh, look, I mean, in the early days we argued it out. That was, you know, if anyone had seen the block, that's how we got things done. It didn't mean that we didn't love each other, which a lot of people would accuse us of. It just meant we were both really passionate, and we still are. And he's still my number one person to throw ideas off, always.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I don't want a strong opinion, I don't ask him, because he always gives me a strong opinion. I know when I've been developing the masterclass, I will be really happy with something and go, what do you think? And he'll go, oh, you should do this and this. And I'm like, don't talk to me. I don't actually want your opinion. But he is, I trust him. He's absolutely understands, you know, what we're trying to achieve with every single design. And he always says, I'm just a plumber, mate. He always tells me that. But he's a plumber that has a really bloody good eye for interior design. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute that he always says that. You guys obviously also have two young kids, Freddie and Story, who is just 6 weeks old.
6 weeks, yeah.
So you really do strike me as someone who just hasn't slowed down at all since becoming a mum. So, like, tell me about that. Like, tell me about your approach to balancing, you know, family with work and, I guess, how you make it work.
So when I had Fred, I literally was in class, about to take a class, and my brother said, no, you need to go home. And I was hesitant to go home, but I did, and my water's broke and I had her that night. So I'd worked right up until. And then as soon as I had her and I felt like I kind of had things under control, I mean, you never have things under control, but as soon as I felt like mentally I needed some more stimulation, I went back to work. And I found it be a really great balance, because it felt as though I didn't really stop being creative and I didn't really stop having that bit of me. And I think that was really, really important for me. And for those of, you know, for those people who want to stay home, I commend you. But for me, I just really needed that outlet. So I didn't feel like I was giving these kids my all and I didn't have anything to give them.
Yeah.
And so being able to go to class and express my creativity and have conversations with adults, you know, made me a better parent because of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with Story. She was born and I was literally still working on the online course and I couldn't stop. We had a launch date. We had a campaign happening. And so I couldn't just say, sorry, guys, we're just going to can that. So I continued working. But the difference is, it's at my own pace. I can do it when I want to do it. I can do it at 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, while I'm feeding or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the balance was that I needed to make sure that I still kept my identity so I could still be the best mum possible and didn't kind of get lost.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had a similar experience. For me, I've always worked, you know, and sort of haven't really taken a whole lot of maternity leave, if any maternity leave.
Exactly.
I don't know. It doesn't work for everyone. But I mean, to your point as well, I have so much respect for women that do, you know, parent full time for the first year or so. Just feel like that is the hardest work you can do.
The hardest work. The hardest.
I feel like going to work is definitely relaxing.
Yes. And that's what I found, that I needed that time away because I was, you know, with kids and especially now with two kids, like today I've had both of them all day. Like I was hanging out for you to come. Like I was like, this is like a date. This is lovely. I'm really excited. I get to have an adult conversation. Yeah. You know, I don't have to feed you snacks every 5 minutes. You bring me snacks. So, you know, it's just, I think the balance for me is just literally to be able to keep the kids happy. I need to be happy. As simple as that.
Yeah. And Josh seems amazing. Josh came home, by the way, today so that he could look after the kids so we could have this chat. And I feel like he's a super hands-on dad.
Yeah, he is. He's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like with your various businesses, like have you ever had mentors that you've turned to for advice, or like is there anyone you look up to in the industry that has really supported what you do?
So my mum is my biggest business mentor and the biggest mentor ever. She's been the one in the trenches building this online course with me while Josh looks after the kids.
Wow.
But she's run, you know, her successful business for years and years, and she's just everything. Like she's my go-to for, you know, personal issues, for business issues. But yeah, I think having your parents that have run a successful business for a really long time, they've absolutely, you know, helped get us here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting, because last week I spoke with Cassie Burns, a textile designer for our podcast, and talking to her about running her own small business. And she also said, my parents had a small business. I've only ever known small business. I grew up around a business. Yeah. I was taken to work when I was a toddler with my parents. And I think if your family has always owned their own business, it definitely sort of is ingrained in you as well.
Absolutely. And I remember mum and dad owned a milk run years and years ago, and, you know, we'd get up and help them, and it was like, you know, we'd get up at like 4 a.m., but we loved it because we got a chocolate milk at the end of it. So we thought, beauty, like we'll get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But, you know, they worked really, really hard on this small business, and that was before they started what they're doing now. But yeah, it's just, we've always seen them work really, really hard. And I think that was ingrained in me. And yeah, that's where the knowledge has come from.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe it is where that entrepreneurial spirit comes from, where you really want to run your own race and see what you can build of your own.
I think so. I think you see your parents and you look up to them from an early age without realizing, you kind of follow in their footsteps a little bit. And I think we did the same with, you know, a lot of my extended family were into property development, so my auntie and uncle and my mum and dad. But I remember coming down to Melbourne and my auntie and uncle had bought and renovated a house, and it was this gorgeous house in a terrace in Albert Park, and I was like, right, that's what I'm going to do. And I would have been, you know, six.
That's so interesting.
And it was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a house. And at the time it was in Albert Park and I wanted twins and you know, all this silly stuff. But, you know, you grow older and you're like, yeah, okay, well, we don't want twins.
Yeah.
We can't handle twins. But, yeah, I definitely think the people that you're around, and especially your family, you're definitely following their footsteps.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely leaves its imprint.
Yep.
What's something that you haven't done yet that you would love to do?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know. I definitely think we've got more renovations in us, but we've done that before. I think have a holiday and have a rest. Like, I think that's probably what I haven't done yet and that I want.
Yeah.
I think now, especially after two kids, man, that's a tough transition from one to two. More than ever, we're realizing that we need a break.
Yeah.
You know, we can't keep going. We just can't keep going the way that we've been going for years and years. So, yeah, maybe holiday.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I feel like you've lived so many lives up until this point. You know, like most people are like, when they have their first child, or, you know, their kids are young, it's like, this is the start of our, you know, life together. And I feel like you guys have had, like,
we're going to retire.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you just have done so much to get to this point.
And I think that's, we were very ambitious when we were young. And I think now we're a bit tired. We're a bit over, you know, the fast pace. As good as it's been, and it has been amazing, there's got to be a time in your life where you can sit back and enjoy the hard work and, you know, enjoy the house and go on holidays and enjoy your family. So as much as we don't have, you know, I don't have much time off work, I think we need to make the special effort to, you know, go away for the weekend and spend time together and just turn off.
Yeah.
You know, which is hard. You know what it's like. It's hard to do.
I definitely know what it's like if you figure it out.
Yeah.
What is one piece of career advice that you would give to yourself 5 years ago?
Oh, 5 years ago. So 5 years ago.
I guess when you were just embarking on design school at that time.
Yeah. I think consider not just the now but the future. I think for us at design school, we stayed in the now for maybe a little bit too long in the sense that you've got to continue to move forward with your business. So you can't just stay stagnant. So we had a good thing going and we still do with design school. But if we didn't continue to evolve, such as the online course, then we would fall behind and people would start to forget about you and it becomes the same old, same old. And there's only so many times you can sing your own song and go, hey, we're great because of this. You've got to continue to move forward. So I think it would have been, you know, think about the future more and take little steps to it so it didn't become such a big step when you realize too late that, we need to do something.
Yeah, totally. It can be hard. Like it's that thing of being in your business versus working on the business. Like when you're so embedded in delivering a product and wanting it to be the best it can be, it's really hard to sort of zoom out and go, okay, but you know, what are we working towards in a bigger picture?
Exactly. Sense? And that's the problem. When you're working in a small business, you're working so hard and that you're wanting to make all of the students really happy for us. And I think you don't get that time to do business development. And that's ultimately what you need to do. You need to go, great, well, this is awesome, but what are we going to do? How are we going to refresh the space? How are we going to make the course better? How are we going to do this? And when you're just so fast and furious working in the now, you miss that opportunity.
Yeah. I wanted to ask as well about, this is going back a little way to the earlier part of the interview, but keen to understand as well how you've leveraged social media in your business. Obviously, it's a huge part of a lot of design businesses. Yeah. And you have a really unique way of approaching social media because your work's on there, but also you're very, you know, you've got a big following just in terms of your family life and your personal life. What's your approach there? Like, what do you share and do you have a sort of strategy around it?
Social media, it's a tricky one. So initially Josh set it up and then I started to take over it and I was really curated and it was really hard. And I guess like a lot of businesses recently have realized that people just want to see real, like they want to see real life, the shitstorm and all.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a balance. So, people crave it. Like they always say, oh, thank you for being, you know, honest and doing this and showing that. But if I don't show pretty pictures, then people don't really follow along. Yeah. So there's got to be the balance of like real life, but also pretty pictures. So that's sort of what I try to do. So try to show some of the interiors that I do, but also a mix of family and it's just life in general. And most people that I guess, you know, do follow us have kind of a passion for either interiors and they have a family themselves so they can relate. But we have our own design school sort of Instagram page and Facebook page where we kind of focus on the course promotion and that kind of stuff to try to limit it to my own personal account. So look, there's no social media strategy going on. It's just, I think you just need to be authentic. And I think people can see through fake,
definitely.
You know, and so if you're authentic and you're actually, you know, sharing things that you believe in, then people will buy into it, you know.
Yeah. Social media is so hard. I feel like I used to love Instagram and I've fallen a bit out of love with it in recent years. It definitely feels like part of my job now, whereas it used to feel like, you know, a fun thing.
Yes.
So, I guess it's just the evolution of it.
It is the evolution. And I do think that, you know, especially after you have a baby, and this was for me, you know, there's times where you think, well, I don't want to post a photo of myself because I don't feel good and you've got to kind of go, no, stuff it. I'm going to do it because there's never a good time to be behind. Like for me, I hate being in front of the camera. I hate it. And, you know, that would sound crazy considering.
Yeah,
I absolutely hate it. Like I'm an introvert at heart and I hate being in front of the camera. But, you know, you've just got to, I guess, kind of just go, who cares? You've got to put yourself out there. You just have to keep moving. You can't get stuck up in that body image and all of that rubbish.
Yeah.
You just have to share what's real. And, you know, for me, it's chaos with kids and that's pretty much my everyday. So, you know, I just share that.
I feel like it's also just, aside from it being something people want to see, it's also quite encouraging for other women that might be, you know, like experiencing the same things and, you know, feeling a bit trapped by their you know, early parenthood or whatever it is. And I think, you know, if you only show the good stuff, you really miss an opportunity to connect or something. Yeah.
And that's exactly right. Like so many of the connections that I have are through, you know, DMs. So a lot of people just messaging me going, you know, thank you, or I've had a similar experience, or my kids are the same age, or I'm, you know, looking to get into design. So that's where a lot of the connections kind of lie, through stories, which is what I've definitely found, that a lot of the stagnant posts, you know, on your feed aren't necessarily as engaging as stories. The amount of messages I get per story, and you might find the same, it's definitely changing. People are looking to video now a lot more than they are an image, because I think it's more real.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's just immediate.
Yeah. It's immediate, and it's hard to edit it as much. And, you know, you can kind of just, a story is just then and there, and you film it, and people really resonate with that. So I think we're all just wanting a more authentic, you know, social media. And I do think the power of it was absolutely shown through, you know, the bushfire crisis, in the fact that everyone just came together and you went, yeah, shit, social media is actually a really good thing when we put our minds to it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you sort of harness it for good.
Yeah.
And not evil.
Exactly. Which is, it was evil, and it definitely was in 2011. So I'm thinking, yeah, hopefully it turns the other direction.
Yeah. And my final question for this part of the interview, what's next for Jenna Denston?
Oh, what's next? So I definitely want to develop this online course to a point where we've got loads of different modules that people can buy and upskill. And, you know, for example, anything from how to make a bed to what window furnishings to choose to how to paint your exterior. So they can basically go onto our website and literally buy a how-to for every single thing that they could ever imagine with design. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
As soon as we've launched this, we call it the foundation course. So as soon as we've launched that, I'm going to start working on, you know, getting ideas as to what people want to learn about.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, create easy, really, you know, beautifully produced videos that just basically can help people with their own homes.
Yeah.
Now it's time for 8 quick questions with Jenna.
What time do you set your alarm in the morning?
No alarm.
Everyone I ask with children says the same thing.
Fred. Should I say Fred sets my alarm?
What do you eat for breakfast?
Oh, toast.
What is one of your weekly rituals? So something you do every week?
Coffee daily. That's the only thing I do.
Daily ritual. Okay.
Yeah.
What is the most visited website on your computer this week?
Oh, that's a good one. What do I visit most? Our launch page.
I know. I was going to say I visit my own website the most.
That's so bad. But the launch page. So the, you know, all the things about how many people are visiting the site are probably incorrect, because it's just me checking. It's fine. So yeah, that's ours at the moment.
Okay. That's understandable. What was the last thing you bought online?
Baby clothes.
What is your dream holiday destination?
Oh, the shack, our shack in Skeens Creek.
Oh, you love that place.
Yeah.
If you weren't an interior designer and educator, what would you be?
Marketing.
Yeah. I think you would be very good at that.
I love marketing.
And finally, if you can name just one thing, what's one thing you are proud of?
Oh, just one thing. My family, full stop. All extended family included. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has been so nice chatting to you, Jenna. Thank you so much for making time for this. And yeah, we can't wait to see what comes next.
Thanks, Lucy. Appreciate it.
To learn more about Josh and Jenna's home renovation and other projects, head to joshandjenna.com.au, or you can follow them on Instagram at joshandjenna. Learn more about Design School and check out their brand new online masterclass at www.thedesignschool.co or via Instagram at designschool_. I had a sneak peek at the Design School online masterclass just after we recorded this podcast, and honestly, it is so extensive. I was really blown away by just how much it covered. Jenna's worked so hard on this course. So if you're embarking on a renovation, contemplating a career change, or just seeking some confidence with your decorating choices at home, it is well worth a look. You've been listening to TDF Talks, a podcast from The Design Files, Australia's most popular design blog. Please check out our main website at thedesignfiles.net, and thanks so much for listening.